listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Been doing on Wednesday nights a back to basics. So if y'all don't mind, I'd like to just stick to the basics a little bit. And I want to deal with a couple weeks on words, And what I'd like to do, if I possibly could, I know I can because I'm like the pastor can do it. What I want to do is, instead of starting you off on words like we usually pick up about the place of speak to the mountain, or we get the word somewhere along, we've got to have no negative words coming out of our mouth. And I'm going to say this to you. I do believe in that. I believe in confessing the word. I believe the word of God must be confessed over issues. I believe his word is real and everything else is ethereal. Everything else will pass away according to the word of God. Except the word of God. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will be established. He said, the flower will fade, the grass will wither, but my word is established forever. So there's something about getting the word of God and speaking that word. But what I want us to do before we start speaking about what's in our driveway or what kind of driveway we have, we might want to just go to the very basics of the word of God. And if y'all don't mind, I'd like to take a couple weeks and do that. Can we do that? Let me give you the three thoughts I want you to get into tonight, at least get them and process them in your brain. I want you to get this, the word cost. The word cost. In other words, it has value, but words cost. We're in a nation that believes in Second Amendment rights. Hallelujah. Fought for it. Carry my gun and say what I want to. Let me just say something to you. You may be in a nation that has Second Amendment rights. And is it second or first? Second. First Amendment rights of speech. Whichever it is. You got First Amendment rights, so you're dealing with your rights and saying, I've got the right to say what I want to. Let me help you right now. You are in another kingdom, and you do not have the right to say what you want to. I'm just going to help you right now. You can get on Main Street and say what you want to by law, by the law of our nation, but God's law is still in effect, and it keeps us from saying some things. All right, well, some of y'all don't believe that. Let me help you on that. How many of you know if you go to Nevada that there are certain counties and places in Nevada where prostitution is legal? That don't mean you can go there and prostitute. It doesn't mean you can go there. You can't go there and operate in that law. Yeah, but it's legal. I get it. It's legal, but it's illegal where we come from. It's illegal in our kingdom. And I'm saying that about words. Some people don't get it, and they say, well, I can say what I want to, and I'm just going to help you right now. There are some things we don't need to be saying. I want you to get a few facts if you could, but let's run to the Bible. At least we're going to get some word in us toward what we're going on tonight. The first thing I want you to get, though, is the word cost. The lie of the kingdom of the world is we have freedom of speech. Let me give you something else that's a problem. The lie is freedom of speech. The truth is you do not have freedom of speech. The truth is you are bound by a covenant with God. Here's another thought I want you to get, if you would. I want you to buy into this one just as a thought. We are in a culture of people talking about accountability. How many of you have heard of that? I need accountability partner. I need someone to be accountable to. Let me tell you what we don't ever ask for is correctability. If we're going to be accountable, we need to be correctable. Amen? I'm trying to help you out right now. It doesn't matter that you're accountable to somebody if they can't correct you. And we are looking for people to be accountable to, but we don't be corrected. And that happens in church an awful lot. We want people to just be able to do what they want to do and everybody be happy. And I'm just going to say this. There are some things I can't do. Go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. We're going to look at a couple things. We're going to deal with this idea of our words. Your words are valuable. How many of you guys know that you can sin with your words? Did you know you can sin with your words? Did you realize in the book of Revelation, y'all go into Proverbs 18, I'll meet you in just a minute, but you can go to the book of Revelation and find out that liars go to hell just like fornicators and homosexuals. I'm just saying, when we think we can get away with our words and our speech, then we find out we can be hooked up in an issue that maybe we didn't think about. Look in Proverbs 18, 21. Now, we're also going to go to Proverbs 26 tonight, and we're going to go to Matthew 12. So we're going to go to a few places. But in Proverbs 18, 21, the Word of God says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. If you look at the verse above it, the Word of God says that my mouth creates or forms a fruit by its own speech. Let me give you something else. In Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. So if you've got a certain fruit on a tree, that's what the tree is. If the tree's corrupt, it has corrupt fruit, so you know that what the tree is. Am I making sense? So if you're getting apples, that's an apple tree. You can call it a peach tree, but it's an apple tree if it has apples on it. And I'm just saying, the Bible says you're going to be known by your fruit, and the fruit of your mouth is the place where God knows us. Let me just give you this as a thought. When God wanted to create the heavens and the earth, He used words. When He wanted to connect to His children, He came as the Word. Okay, some of y'all looked at me real strange. I caught it right. I got that little glimpse in your eye. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 real quick and just kind of see. I'm probably wrong about this, and you're probably right, but I can't take it when you look at me sideways. Okay, let's look and see. Let's look and see. Okay, look in chapter 3, verse 8. Just as, let me help you on this. Chapter 3, verse 8 of Genesis. I want to find out if I'm right about this. Verse number 8. And they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the sound of God. Does anyone have other translations? Huh? They heard the voice. Listen to this. They heard the voice of the Lord walking. They heard the Word of God walking. So I'm just helping you right now. God wants to connect by His Word. He's going to connect to you. That's why when people say, you know, I just can't read the Bible, that is a lie right there. I mean, you opened your mouth and lied. Everybody can read the Bible. And listen, if you can't read, we can get you the Bible on something. Cassette tape if we have to. We can get it on DVD. We can get it on whatever. Get it on 8-track. We'll get you something. But everybody needs the Word of God. Are y'all still tracking me? It was the Word of God. I love that. The voice of the Lord that came in the cool of the day. So I'm just trying to help y'all a little bit, because sometimes our concept of Adam and Eve was that God came like walking in wingtips and a 3-piece suit. But the Bible says He came in as the voice, as the Word. And they heard the Word coming toward them. I don't know about you right now, but that's exactly how He speaks to me. He still speaks by His Word. As I read this Word, then I get rhema. If I don't read this Word, I don't get rhema. And I'm very skeptical of people that don't read their Bible, but they always have a Word from God. Because we judge the Word you have from God by this. We don't judge it by how spiritual you are. So I'm just helping you on this. So here's the idea. God connects to us by the Word. Then in John chapter 1, and we don't have to go there, but just to let you know, in John 1, you know it better than I do. John 1, 1, in the beginning was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 said, and the Word became flesh. It's all about the Word. We get hooked up on the flesh, and Jesus said the flesh is leaving here. I'm not going to be with you. I'm sending back a comforter. And what is the comforter going to reveal to you? Everything that has been said. In other words, connection is a word. How many of you know connection with people is by word? This idea of, we got a small group. Yeah, there are 3 or 4 of us in a small group, or 5 or 6 of us in a small group. We never talk, but we get together. I'm going to help you right now. You're not having a small group unless someone's talking. You got to communicate. Word is a part of life, and you need to communicate. And some people say, well, I'm just not a big talker. Well, you know, I can hang you around some people that are big talkers. They'll help you out. But just kind of, they can train you on talking. Let me write this one down. Psalm 107:20. The Bible said, and God sent His Word, and God sent His Word, and God sent His Word and healed them, and God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them, and God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them. God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them out of all of their distress. How are you going to get out of what you're in right now? The Word of God. You need the Word of God. You need the Word preached to you, but you also need the Word in your soul, in your spirit, and feed yourself. And just to go on to one more place, Romans 8 says that faith, or 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then the Word of God says that I'm born again because I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, right? Let me give you this. It's a good one for small groups, and we need small groups. Say small groups. Small groups. Touch someone and say, we're going to make a small group. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you've already confessed you're going to do it. I agree with you, so we're going to have that. Let me tell you a reason. Let me tell you a reason you need some small groups. You need to hang out with two or three or four people at least once a week or so, or a couple times a month. You need to get together, because here's one of the things. You confess to God and that's good. Say salvation. According to James chapter 5, if I confess to God, I can get saved. But I confess to you, I get healed. Doesn't James 5:14-15 say that if I confess my faults to one another, that I might be healed? There are a lot of saved people walking around sick. Excuse me just a minute. One of the reasons is they're too afraid to say something in church because they think they're going to hear it from the pulpit the next time they say it, or somebody else is going to take it and they're going to use it against them, take them hostage with it. You know, you've got those people that say, someone told me something, but you can't tell anybody. And then the person that told you not to tell hears it from somebody else, and they come to you and say, I thought I told you not to tell. And you say, well, I told them not to tell. I'm just saying. That's what happens in churches, and it kind of moves around that way. But we need some folk we can confide in, that we can get some healing in our life, just to say, hey, I've got an issue. I'm fighting a problem. There's some of you all that know some things about me and about in my family. You know issues in my family right now, some things that have happened and going on. There's some men here that know that because I've confided in them. And I want them to pray about it. And every once in a while they'll come and say, Pastor, what about? And they'll say something about that. And I'm cool with that because I'm believing God to make a change and do something. And it takes sharing that word on this level. Say salvation is vertical. Healing's horizontal. I'm just saying that ought to help you out a little bit, because there is a healing that you can walk in because people lay hands on you, they anoint you with oil, and because we make proper confessions. Amen? And any of you ex-Catholics, y'all just should amen me real hard on that one. Let's look at this on the cost. Did we ever go to Proverbs 18:20? Yeah, we did. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. And I want to deal with these three points. Words cost. Say words cost. Yeah, there's nothing free about speech. It's not just that someone fought to give it to you. It's that I can't say anything I want to. There's some things that I don't have the right to say. I want you to look at this. It's very important. And I'm not going to deal with it this week, if you don't mind, and crutch me off for another week or two. I want to deal with the unpardonable sin, because I'm going to tell you about the unpardonable sin. It's not what you think it is.
That's right.
People come and say, have I committed the unpardonable sin? No. Or you wouldn't have asked. You wouldn't have asked. We're in Matthew 12. I don't want to get into it deep, but I'm just going to kind of blow the dust off of it and just say this. The unpardonable sin is about someone resisting with their words more than it is they're cussing the Holy Ghost. How many of you know the Holy Spirit moves on everybody? How many of y'all know He wants to save everybody? How many of you know every sinner got a target on his back? Holy Ghost looking at him. The only person that can keep him away is that person. You need to think about what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. It's when there's a continual resistance of the thing He's wanting to do. Ooh. So if you're asking, you ain't. You're okay. You might go to hell, but you'll go happy. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is not what you think it is. And we'll deal with it in a week or so, but I'm just saying you need to understand that. Look in chapter 12, and like I said, I'm going to scrape the surface here. I want to deal starting in verse number 33, but you really pick it up in 31, but we'll just start in 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, I'd never call y'all that. Bunch of snakes. I'd never say it. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the... You need to circle and underline a bunch of this right along in here. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When people say, I don't know where that came from. I do. I can help you. It overflowed out of you. When people say, I can't believe I said that. How many's ever said something they wish they hadn't said? Oh, my goodness. Listen, whenever I got saved right fresh out of the Marine Corps, and I was just did a 10-day drunk, and just it was horrible, and get born again on a Sunday, and that afternoon they're carting me off to Bible school, knew that's the only way I could stay saved. And I'm just saying, when I got down to Southwestern University, I mean, I was a wreck. I'd been messed up already. I had a $100 bill one of my Sunday school teachers gave me, and I met my wife, and she cooked me a meal. And then I married her after she cooked me a meal. Someone take care of me. We'll celebrate 43 years in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Yeah. But when I went to college, I was a mess. I did stupid things. I had two fights while I was there. And that was stupid. I said ugly words by accident. Anybody ever done that before? I had more ugly words in me than I had good words at the time. So it was very difficult for me to shift gears. I said, y'all see, y'all so holy up in here. Y'all been saved so long. You don't remember. I remember a little bit about that. And I can just remember some of those things happening from time to time. But here's what I know. That's because that's what was in me. Now, I would like to tell you I was abundantly full of the Holy Ghost. I wasn't. I was abundantly full of that mess I'm still abundantly full of. I was born again, but I'm just telling you, that trash was still there. It took a process of growing and getting rid of and peeling the onion, and it's a layer at a time. And some of y'all thinking, you got saved. Look here. Some of y'all got saved, and the biggest sin you ever did was put sugar on your rice or something ridiculous. I don't know. How many of y'all do sugar and milk on your rice and butter? Anybody? Doobies only say, oh, there are two more Alabama fans. Sugar on rice. Y'all don't, my wife thought I'd sinned when I did that. Just thought I was nuts. Here's all I'm saying. Some of y'all never did anything wrong. I mean, when you got saved, God didn't know what to forgive you of because you're so good. But there's another group of us that wasn't in that class. We graduated in another class. And I'm just saying, it took a process to move off of that. And this is what the Bible says right here. You're going to be known by the abundance. Until you can change the abundance, your mouth is still going to sound like it does. And quit defending your bad mouth. That's just the way I am. Well, can you hear how stupid you are? Quit talking like that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every... I circle this. I'll talk a little bit about it, but probably next week a little bit harder on this. And it says this, but I say to you, every idle word that a man may speak, they will give an account on the dead judgment. Well, I don't know if that bothers you, but it ought to. You want me to get up here and preach, everybody walk out feeling fuzzy and warm. And I'm just going to tell you, there's some stuff in here that still bothers me a little bit. I read stuff and it bothers me. That bothers me that he's got idle words. Here's what I know about idle words. He must know they're there. When I say things I don't think he's hearing, maybe he is. Amen? And I'm just saying, now, there's some translations that define idle word. It's an inoperative word. It's a word that does not assist in the process. Idle word, inoperative. In other words, if I'm needing a miracle, and I'm not talking about a miracle, and I'm talking about how dead I'm going to be, that's an idle word. That's inoperative. It's not helping me operate in this thing. Help me out, Gerald.
Careless
words, just not paying attention. Now, we don't want to be legalistic with our words and make everybody, slap you every time you say something bad. I'm just saying this. We need to become conscious of our words because it's our connection to people and to God. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's major to me. It ties me very closely to my mouth. Amen. And all I'm saying is this, we need to become accountable, and then we also need some correctability, someone to help us change. When people say, I'm free country, I say what I want to, I'm going to tell you this, I'm in a free country, and I would fight for that freedom, but I can't say everything I wanted to. If I said everything I wanted to with my wife, I'd be in trouble. How many of y'all know I'd be in trouble? If I said everything I wanted to, well, there's no telling what you'd go by if I said what I wanted to. See, it's a blessing. I wanted to tell you, just go bankrupt us and go buy you something, but I didn't. Here's the thing. You got to know that you're in another kingdom. I want you to write this down or go to it, Psalms 141:3. David says it this way. Any of y'all got other translations, I'm always welcome to hear it. Here's what David says. He said, I'm going to set a guard over my mouth. Listen to what he says. I'm going to keep watch over the door of my lips. I'm going to put a guard over my mouth. David knew something about words. He knew something about words. How many of you all know, and don't go there, but let me just tell you, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, whenever David was in the cave of Adullam and those 400 men came in there, the Bible said they were in debt, distressed, and full of doubt, and they came in, and within a few months they go out mighty men of valor. Well, what did David do for them? He changed their speech. He didn't have to teach them how to fight. He had to teach them how to think and how to talk. He trained them. Guard your mouth. Let me ask you a question. When he saw Goliath, what did he say as compared to what his six brothers were saying? Y'all help me just a little bit right here.
Who is this defiling the faith?
Yeah. He's out there ranting and raving, and they looked at him. Here's what they said. Look at the pride he has. Look, let me help y'all. David wasn't doing that for his personal pride. He was doing that as a teenager because he believed there was a living God that was bigger than that devil out there. And all he did was come out saying, who is this that's speaking against us? Who does he think he is? And his own family said, you're just full of pride. He wasn't full of pride. He's full of God. I'm just saying. And David knew you got to guard your mouth. So he says this, I'm going to set a guard over my mouth. I'm going to keep watch over my lips. I'm going to keep over the door of my mouth. Psalms 39:1. Somebody help me on that one. Psalm 39:1. We'll run over and give me a translation on it.
I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin.
Whoa, wait a minute. Back up a minute. Say that again.
I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin.
So say it one more time. I'll watch my ways and keep my tongue from what?
Sin,
falling short, coming up short of the glory of God, not fulfilling what God has set up. I will guard my ways, and lest I sin with my tongue. Listen to this. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. Anybody got another translation?
Right.
Muzzle's pretty strong, huh? I'll watch steps and tongue so they don't land me in trouble. So I want to build a case for speech tonight. I want to build a case for godly words. I want to build a case for blessing people. I want to build a case for the priority of the Word of God. Amen. I'm not telling you what to say and how to say it. I just want to build a case that words are important and we've got to start taking notice of that. Amen. When people say things like this, I probably shouldn't say this. Well, then shut up. If what they say, if what comes out of their mouth is, I probably shouldn't say this, then that's your cue to help them. Say don't. One of two things when they say I probably shouldn't say it is either common sense or the Holy Ghost. And either one of them works. If you shouldn't say it, then shut up. Amen? Just don't do it. Don't go there. It's going to save you. You're going to get hurt if you go there. All right, here's the... So words cost. Say words cost.
Words cost.
David said they cost me enough that I'll guard my lips. He said they cost me enough that I'll watch them because they will get me in a bad place. If I don't watch what I say, I can sin. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you can sin with your lips.
Yes,
you can sin with your words. Amen? I'm not talking about cuss words. I'm just talking about words in general. We need to get cursing before we get cussing. Some people don't cuss, but they curse all the time. Just saying. Words hurt. How many of you know words hurt? The lie is, here's the lie. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Well, that's a lie. Here's another lie. I was just kidding. How many's ever heard that one? You said something real goofy to your wife and she looked at you like, I'm about to cut you totally off from any kind of fellowship and friendship. And then you start saying, well, I'm just kidding. Let's look at that in the Bible, if you don't mind. Go to Proverbs 26. I know y'all going to want some translations on this. You better get Message ready. It'll rip us up. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Let's go. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. When people say words won't hurt, I'm going to tell you right now, words will hurt. Words are powerful, they're creative, they're life and death. 18 is chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. How have we got our translations working tonight?
Like a madman shouting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who delivers a neighbor, who deceives a neighbor and says, I was only joking.
What does message say on that one? Anything different?
It says, people who shrug off deliberate deceptions, saying, I didn't mean it, I was only joking, are worse than careless campers who walk away from a smoldering campfire.
Smokey the Bear would have you for this. Another translation. A madman with a rifle on top of the skating rink shooting y'all as you go out. And when you get hit, he says, oh, I didn't mean to do that. That's what happens. Those are what words can do. When we say things to people and we hurt them, and then we say we're just kidding. And I'm going to say this. My wife and I have said it for years. Well, the truth is, I know I'm sarcastic, and I know it's not good. And I've come from a long line of sarcastic people. I've trained my boys in sarcasm. How many of y'all are sarcastic? Anybody in here? I am by nature. I have to not be. I have to train myself not to be, or I'd make fun of something. I don't know. I'm trying to think when I'm not sarcastic. One time Sue was fussing at Gabriel, and she was talking to him about him being sarcastic and smart aleck, and he took it for a while, and finally he just said, I learned it from the best. So she shut down, because she is about the most sarcastic person I know. She is. Now listen, here, I'm not saying be sarcastic. I'm against it. It's something I try not to do. I'm red. I feel my face is flushing. Dina was acting like the Holy Ghost for a second there. Here's what I'm saying. Words will hurt. We need to be careful with our words. We really do. I'm just being honest with you. What we need to be, if we can just train ourselves to be this way, is build people up. If they're having a bad day and they come in and they're down in the dumps, you need to have some kind of proverb or scripture or encouraging word that would just get them off the edge. You know what I'm talking about? Just a word. Jim is one of the great guys for that. He'll sit in these services, hear a word preach or whatever, and the Holy Spirit will give him a revelation, give him a rhema. And a rhema is the word of God where the preacher read from the Bible that stands up to you and will work for you. And he'll write those things down. And then he'll use them when he's talking to people. He goes to the Walmart or something like that. He'll come out with a scripture for those people. I'm just saying, we need to become people of the Word. We need to know that words hurt, and you need to learn how to repent of bad words. Amen? We need to repent of bad words. And you don't need to go up to someone and say, I need to. You just need to go up and say, I want to repent. I repent of, and do it. Don't say, I need to, because as soon as you say, I need to, I just rubbed you off. If you need to, if you came because you need to, then that's not much repentance. Amen. I'm just helping some of you men out with your wives right now. Don't be telling her you need to repent. You just go up there and do it. Just bold-faced repent. So we need to repent of bad words, and then we need to forgive people of bad words. Be willing to let them go. Be willing to let them go. Let me say something to you. If someone comes and repents, and I won't be but a few more seconds here. If someone comes and repents to you, it costs them something. It costs them some guts. It costs them some stamina. It costs them some fortitude. It costs them whatever you want to call it to come to you to repent. And once they do not need to hear you say, oh, it was nothing. Or just forget it. Amen. If they repent, you release them by saying, I forgive you. You release them. That lets them go. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've ever seen anybody release of a demonic force, you need to see someone released when they're under the burden of wounding somebody and they need to be released from it and they apologize and someone says, I'm sorry. It just changes everything about them. There's a freedom that comes on them. So I'm just saying this. Understand that repentance deserves a forgiveness. I'm sorry. Here's the last point. The first point is words cost. Just because they do it in Nevada don't mean we can do it. It cost. The other thing is words hurt. We need to know that. We don't need to be, we need to understand that if we got a tree that is bearing bad fruit, we need to change it. The last thing is that words last. Words last. They're complicated. It was Jesus that said, look at what he said. He said, every idle word. Every word that's not functioning, he says he's going to judge. I'm going to tell you the thing I love about God. Two things I love about him, and then the other part about him, I guess it scares me a little bit. I love him that he remembers everything. He remembers everything. That's scary. But when he forgives you, he can forget everything. It's amazing. I mean, only God can do that. That he can remember everything about me, and when I ask for forgiveness, then he can remember nothing about me. He is God. Isn't that crazy? I can't do that. Yeah, you do something dumb, I'm going to remember that and make fun of you for years. No. Okay, yeah. But I'm just saying. God is able, as good as he can remember, he can forget. But we need to remember that remembering side, and that is this, that our words last. They last. When I confess, those words last. You need to learn to confess to God your sin. You need to learn to confess to your fellow man your faults, the issues, that you can be healed on this earth. There are some people that are healed by the stripes on Jesus' back, but you can't receive it because you're bound up with relational problems. Okay. Look at me mean. I have to come talk to you a minute. How many of you know that everybody in the world is forgiven of their sin? On God's level, everybody's forgiven, right? Yes or no? Yes. Yeah, they all got forgiven. Everybody's sin went to the cross. Everybody's sin went to the cross. Listen, this is so cool. This has nothing to do with what I'm saying tonight, but let me just go ahead and put it in there. How many of y'all been to Israel? So check me out on this and make sure I'm right. According to Scripture, too, even in the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus was taken to a hill called Golgotha, which means, by interpretation, place of the skull. Check me out. He's at the place of the skull. Where do they put his cross? Where did the blood flow? Right down on that skull. I got me a revelation on that the other day, and I'm buying it. I believe the cross was on top of us. I believe it was for my brain, for my thoughts. I believe the blood of Christ cleanses my thoughts. I thank God. When I begin to see that, just another thought on that same thing. On when Jesus was talking, and he was getting ready to go up, and it was about 10 days before Pentecost, and so it was like 17th of May or whatnot, and he's getting ready to leave them, and while he's pulling out, the Bible said he left in a what? A cloud. Is that significant to you? If you're a Jew, it is. How did Jesus track them in the wilderness? In a
cloud.
Woo! Come on now. He came in a cloud. He walked in a cloud. He knew clouds. When he left in a cloud. How many of y'all know on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came that it said that there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind? That means nothing to you because you're New Testament. What does that mean to a good Jew when he hears the wind blew over somebody? The wind blew. They remember Ezekiel. They remember dry bones. They remember the wind blowing. They remember that the Red Sea parted by a strong east wind. Come on. You see, we get the day of Pentecost and we get shook up because we don't see any wind. It ain't about you. It's about those Jews. Cloven tongues of fire. I don't need to see fire. They saw fire. They were the Jews. I'm not a Jew. I don't do sacrifice. Right? They needed to see that. I'm just saying, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. Let's get done. That is a good thought, though, isn't it? Don't you like that about the cross on your head? Man, set that thing up on your head. Blood flowing right now, right now, right now, in Jesus' name. Blood flowing right now, right now. On your thoughts, flowing on your thoughts. When you get up in the morning, he's not trying to find you. He's got a cross on the skull. Hallelujah. Guarding my mind and my thoughts. Can you see what the Holy Ghost is doing? He'll do that with you, and he'll do that with his word. Let's close on this. 2 Timothy. I'm getting done. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this is Paul speaking to his boy Timothy. Man, like a madman, he who throws fire darts at people and kills them is a guy that deceives his neighbor and says, I was teasing. Doobie, you better be careful. That's probably you. What? Be chiding me from the front row. I'll get you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Did I say 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? I want to just look at this, and I'm going to close on this. And I want to say two words about words, and that's what Paul said. These words last. They're valuable. They're going to cost you something. Words have power. They can hurt. They can heal. But listen to this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3, and it says this, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may be in charge, that you may charge some that teach no other doctrine. And I'm in first. I need to be in second. I knew something was kind of jacked up with that. I thank my God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, for my forefathers, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. Now look at this word. I remember you. I want you to underline the word remember. I remember you in my prayers night and day. Remember, underline it, has to do with words. Verse number 5. When I call to, here's that word again, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you. That word for remember is the same word in the Greek for tombstone. A tombstone is not to remember the dead. It's to mark their living. In other words, I put that stone there to remember their life. When you go to a grave, come on, y'all, how many of you ever go visit graves? I don't, but some people do. That's good. Some people go visit graves. I've been to some, and when I go, I don't know what to do, but I know other people, you know, function there. But here's what I do know. When you go to the grave, you don't go think about them rotting. I'm just saying, when you go to the grave, you're not thinking like CSI, what do they look like? When you go to the grave, you're remembering what they were like. You bring life. And that's what Paul said. He wasn't saying that as a bad thing. He's saying, hey, man, I remember you in my prayers. I remember what you're going through. I know that. He picked it up from words. He got it off of Eunice and Lois. Then he sees it in him. He got it as he communicated, as they talked. Here's your two words you need to get when you leave here tonight, and that is you need words to invest and you need words to heal. You need to start investing words, talking to other people. Amen? Amen. Practice your words. How many of you ever told that to your grandchild? That they're pulling, or your kids are pulling on your leg? Use your words, right? They get about 4 and you say, shut them words up. Here's what I'm telling you. Paul said this. He said, I call to remembrance. When I pray, I call to remembrance the good stuff about you. And that's all I'm saying right now. We need to have a mental shift. We need to shift right now, because you're in a society, in a culture that's right now in financial dilemma. We're in political dilemma. How many of you know we're just jacked up on so many levels? Just trouble. There are all kinds of people in problems. Here's all I'm saying. Somebody has got to be sane. Someone's got to stand up and say, there is a God. Amen. This is all bad, but there is a God. I know you're in a bad place right now, but God's got His hand on your life. He knows bad places. He knows what it is to be in hell. He knows what it is to be in heaven. He can take you out of that. He can change this issue. He can groom you. He can help you. You made that mistake. That's okay. You made a mistake. Our goal is to invest in you to get you going the right direction. We're going to remember you when we pray. Amen. Let's all stand if you would.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.